Okay. Well, good evening. It was a lot of fun today to go out singing with some of you. And a lot of you, I don't really know your name. I know what you sang. So, and I got to hear it over and over and over again. And the one lady that knew that hippopotamus song, I mean, I remember when, I think I got it from my wife one time, but I think I could almost do it all now in my head, but that was great. While we were at the old folks' home, a little lady who's not associated with y'all, I don't think, came up, grabbed me by the arm, and she just wanted to tell me stuff. So that was great. It was fun to do that. Vicki and I have basically retired now, mostly because of my knee. We're still waiting to see if somebody wants to pay me for that. Otherwise, I'm getting ready to do my actual retirement. I worked in lumber mills for years. That's why people ask me, you're in Astoria. Why would you go there? Well, that's where there was a lumber mill, and that's where I had to go. But we're done with that now. We're asking God to show us what he wants us to do next. I'm open, and so far, he hasn't said a word. So we're still waiting to see what's going to happen, but it really helps you with your soul, because there's some verses. I have, Vicki's a quilter and does all kinds of sewing stuff, and I have her do some verses for me, and the one I use a lot now is, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Sometimes that is so hard. And along with that, it's the power of the word that works in my life. Sometimes when somebody's been, you know, we're doing this long-term disability thing, and I think it was Friday, I got really a negative answer from the person. And Vicki wants me to do this or that, and I'll go, no, we're going to do this. We're going to wait for the Lord. We're going to do this. We've got a plan. But that's not really what I want to do. I mean, several people have already asked me tonight, yes, this is a cane. Yes, it is a very heavy knob. If somebody wanted me to beat my brother-in-law with it, I don't do that. But now I found out that you may speak behind me about me behind my back. If y'all would email me and let me know when that occurs, that'd be fine. And one other thing, Robert, we had to kind of force him to get that drum and play with us today, the 12 drummermen. And I don't think I even see him now. I think he really meant it. He was leaving. So make sure you remind him that Steve Daniels brought him up in the sermon, that he had to be shamed to play really well. So to begin with, I want to talk about the power of the word because it's changed my life. And I know this is Sunday night, you're like the choir, right? You're here. But I still think there's somebody out there that this could help. In my life, I've been a Christian for, it's hard to remember exactly when I started. It's been 44 years, 45 years. And in that time, there's a couple times when I've come close to falling away. And one of the missions I think God's given me, he hasn't spoken to me in a voice, but it just seems to come up an awful lot, is how do you come back from that? And it's the word. And it's the power of the word. So we're going to examine that a little bit tonight. I'm going to give away a couple secrets. I've always tried to figure out how often should you study your Bible. And I never could find a verse. I think I found a verse. So I'm going to share it with you. You're the second people in the whole world to ever hear that from me. I preach this in Long Beach is where we actually go. A small group of people meet in the home. And it really helped me change my life. So it's kind of like a personal testimony. So to begin with, make sure I don't erase something here. So we just sang that song. I had you sing it. I do that a lot. I get you to commit because you're singing before God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and his angels, and you make promises in your song. Are you aware you're doing that? Words are very powerful. With a word, we can ruin somebody's whole day. Or like today when that lady came up, I'm not much for being touched. I don't hug a whole lot. So don't take that as a challenge, please. I mean, even with my mother-in-law, under normal circumstances, Martha Butterbaugh, we have this secret, okay, that was a hug. Now, I've told people at work, or wherever I've been, I only hug people that are family or are dying. So if I come up and give you a big hug and you're not family, you should be concerned. But she came up, grabbed me, don't really like that, but she wanted to talk. And one of the things that I've learned, you know, now that Vicki and I are retired, you know, we fill up our day with all kinds of things, but still, it's different. It takes a while to get used to it. I've been off since June 1st. That was my last day I worked. We've done all kinds of things. It's been a fantastic summer. Just filled with all kinds of things. But still, it's different. And it's lonely sometimes. the kids can't all come, and we can't afford right now to go all over the place. Hopefully that'll change soon. It would be really wonderful if y'all would pray for me for that. I have all my grandkids praying. I got 10 of them all over the, you know, half of them here in this area and down in Salem, and half down in, over in, wherever it is. Indiana, thank you. One other thing, I used to have a photographic memory. I told Daniel that. See, I remembered your name because of the drums. But I don't have it anymore. You hit 50, all kinds of things. Start failing, brain, all those things. And it's normal and you live with it. So Vicki and I together, I've determined, that's my opinion, I don't think she likes that answer, but we have 3/4 of a brain between the two of us on a good day. So we write stuff all over the walls. Okay, don't forget, you're going to go preach in Sumner. Okay, yeah, got that one. And you have to learn to get along. And you say stuff, and the rule now is, and it kind of applies with the word, you got to be careful with your words because they're powerful. Every once in a while, I hear Vicki say something from the other room that I can't believe she said, and she's cautioned me, if you think it's something I normally wouldn't say, I didn't say it. And she's right. One of my favorite jokes, and it's not a joke anymore, was the man who went to a doctor and said, "Doctor, my wife is going deaf. I'm really worried about her. How can I don't, she won't go in for a test. I don't want to do that to her, but what can I do?" He said, "Well, go in your farthest room and just very softly say, 'What's for dinner?' And if there's no answer, you go into the next room. 'What's for dinner?' Finally, you go as far as you have to go. Finally, he got in the kitchen and said, 'What's for dinner?' She said, 'I told you the last 3 times we're having chicken.' And now I can understand that's me sometimes. So heaven holds all the me. We made a commitment. What were the words? Earth holds no treasure, but perish with using. We're saying there's nothing down here that's worth dying for or living for. Not physically. However precious they be, yet there's a country to which I am going. Heaven holds all to me. Out on the hills of that wonderful country, happy, contented, and free, angels are waiting and watching my coming. Heaven holds all to me. Why should I long for the world and its sorrows when in that home or the sea, millions are singing the wonderful story? Heaven holds all to me. Then the chorus, heaven holds all to me, brighter its glory will be, joy without measure will be my treasure. Heaven holds all to me." Now, those of you that sang tonight, and a whole lot of you have wonderful singing here, you sang those words. Did you mean them? Does heaven truly hold all to you? How much time do you give the Lord while you're here alive to study in His Word? I heard a lot of people saying the right stuff, but how often do you put His Word into your heart? How often do you listen to what the Master says and not what's going on down here? Now, I worked in a lumber mill. I've been a manager for a mill. I've had all kinds of people responsible. When I'd walk under the grounds, it pretty much consumed me until I could leave. It was, and I'm sure your jobs are pretty much the same. Anything you do, if you're doing it hard and diligently, there's a lot of work. And things get in your way. But long, long ago, and I don't recommend you do this because there's a price to pay, I ran into this guy in one of the mills. He was a Christian fellow. He was 60-some years old, and wow, I'm there now. And he said he studied the Word every day for 30 minutes. So I was trying to force myself to do better, so I made an oath to my God, don't do that, because you have to keep it, that I would study 30 minutes every day before lunchtime, 11 o'clock for a meeting that time. And so I failed at that a whole bunch. Satan does, as soon as he finds something he can hold over you, he goes after it. So I don't recommend you do that. I do recommend you make a promise to yourself. But we'll talk more about that. But when I started falling away, I came back to that. I had a brother-in-law pass away, and you've never met him, I don't believe, Mike Kramer. And it was such a shock that it's better to go to the house of sorrow because you start thinking about your end. And so I began to do my studies again. I would just memorize, back then my memory is still going. I would try to memorize verses that applied to me, to my problems. You know, not just read a genealogy, though I do that now and it's kind of interesting. That's amazing that it got that way. But there's things you can learn in any part of it. Everything in the Word means something. And God gave it to us with His hand through His Son, who is the Word, by the Holy Spirit, through His holy apostles and prophets. And He's put a lot of work into this. So, we sang that song. So today, Hebrews 11:16, but as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. That's what I want. I meant it when I sang those words. I sang them with feeling. I want to be there. There's a place prepared for me. A long time ago, I studied with Lowell Williams up in Kirkland, preacher training courses, different things. And one day in class, he said, "Do you believe you're going to heaven?" And he said, "I absolutely do." And we were kind of shocked. I mean, not many people said that out loud. Like, "Well, I hope to." Like, no, you got to believe you're going. And how do you get there? How do you have faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. You can't wish for faith. I wanted faith. You know, when I wasn't doing well, I was working all kinds of swing shifts and old graveyard shifts and all that kind of stuff. And Vicky was taking the kids all to church midweek and all those things. And I wanted to be better. I wanted more faith. So I'd ask God for faith. Nothing came because it doesn't come in a miraculous form today. It did. It used to. Read 1 Corinthians or in through Corinthians and see some of the gifts of the Spirit. Miraculous faith was one of them, but it isn't anymore. How do you get faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. James talks about receive the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. So it's really the whole lesson, but we're going to look at some aspects of it, is put the word in you and it will change you. Your faith will grow. You don't have to go, "Man, I'm just not as good as the next guy. I just don't know if I can have that kind of faith." You won't, unless you put the word of God in your heart and in your mind. It will change you. There's another passage that talks about how it metamorphosizes you. It's out of your hands. All you have to do is pick up your Bible in whatever form it is, and you put it in you. And you don't have to do it 30 minutes a day. But you'll see at the end of the lesson, at least the verse that I think implies you better do it every day. If you have a problem with anger, grab a verse. There's tons of them that say, get rid of all anger, wrath, and clamor. When I first became a Christian, Ben was actually preaching in where I was in Pinoyer Avenue in Cottage Grove, Oregon. That's where I was born. And I remember it came up in class. Is it okay to be angry? And they used part of that verse. Be ye angry, yet sin not. See, it's okay to be angry. That's not what that verse says. Because immediately after that, it says, get rid of it as fast as you can before the sun sets on it. Then immediately it goes on and talks about further in other passages of the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. There is no such thing as righteous anger. Not by us. We can't control it. Only God, only the Holy Spirit can control it. We can't let it go because the passage says get rid of all anger, wrath, and clamor. So you take those verses and you start putting them in your heart. How about let every one of us, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. That works in business. That works everywhere in the world. You want to get angry about something or maybe whatever causes you to get angry, all of a sudden you jump on it. Don't. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. That verse has saved my life, I think, personally, with my wife, especially now that we're retired. She's smiling. She's smiling. So everybody, you know, she's smiling and it's a happy smile, I think. But I didn't want to be that grumpy old guy. I didn't want to be that person that's complaining about everything. Sure, everything hurts. Ecclesiastes, I think the only thing that hasn't happened to me in chapter 12 is the golden bowl is broken. I really don't want that one yet. I'm pretty sure that means I'm dead. But everything else is happening. And so the word just constantly is filling me up. I want to be like it says here in Hebrews 11. I do desire a better country. This isn't my home. This is a terrible place. It's a beautiful world that God's made, even in its destruction after the flood. Still beautiful. But I want to go to be wherever he is. Amen. So let's look at first part of the power of the word. We need to be diligent. Now that's not something I made up. There's a lot of verses that say those words. Hebrews 4:11. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest so that no one will fall. Through following the same example of disobedience that happened to those children of Israel. How about this one? 2 Timothy 2:15. You've heard this one many times. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Or 2 Peter 1:10 through 11. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. So I have a question for you. Oh, let me outline these so you can see. The word focus on here is diligent. So how many of you, just raise your hands if you would, have ever been involved in sports or some other type of team sport or music or anything where you had to practice a whole bunch? How many of you ever done that? Go ahead, don't be afraid to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you anything embarrassing. Okay. We talked about somebody that learns to play a musical instrument or someone who wants to play football. I played that a little bit. And you have to practice all the time. You have to put in the effort. I think my wife said if you practice 30 minutes to an hour every day, you're only doing the minimum on a musical instrument. You're only barely touching the minimum. You have to be diligent. You have to focus your energies. You have to get it in you. You have to make your muscles learn. You have to get your mind to learn where to put your fingers and all that stuff. And I don't play musical instruments. I love hearing them, but I don't play them. But you have to be diligent. Now apply that to the word. Are you being diligent? When was the last time, except for Sundays and Wednesdays and whatever other time that you had to go to a class, have you pulled out your Bible and studied it? Or had a verse that you used, a favorite verse that you needed? This is a challenge to all of you tonight. When I said that thing about anger, one of you looked up at me and went like this. So I know it's going to affect one of you. If you go find the verses that apply to your issue, whatever it is, we all have problems in hundreds of different ways. Find a verse. Ask, if you can't find it, ask Jeff, ask Bill, ask somebody else. What's a good verse to use for this? And then study it. Spend, if you want to, decide what it is, 5-10 minutes a day. Learn that verse. Once you get it down really good, it will start coming in. You know when Jesus was tempted by Satan? How did he respond when Satan said, here, turn these rocks into bread? No, I don't want to. I don't need to. He didn't say that. He said, it is written. And he answered Satan every time that way. It is written. And Satan could not fight him. He couldn't beat him. Anything else, you're going to lose. It's not within man to direct his own steps. You can't do it. I can't do it on my own. You can't be strong enough on your own. You have to have faith. And how does faith come? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the words of Christ. There's no other way. Not now. It'd been really cool to get that miraculous faith so you could move a mountain, but there would have been a price to pay, perhaps. I don't know, because it doesn't happen now. So if you want faith and you want to be able to go to this place we just talked about, you've got to be diligent and apply yourself. Well, I thought it was like a free trip. No, it's not. He says, make sure about your calling. Verse 2 Peter 1, 10 through 11. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you what? Practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Hebrews 4, 1 through 3. Therefore, let us fear if while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. I want to be in that rest that God's talking about. And that means I have got to study the word. And what it's kind of hitting at here is the same thing James says. Don't just be a hearer, be a doer. So when you start taking that verse and you start memorizing that verse, I'll keep focused on anger because it was one of my big issues. I'm the son of an angry man who's the son of an angry man who I think is the son of some angry men, but I was too afraid to get around him to find out. That literally was my life. You know how you grow up and you're just like your father or your mother perhaps? I was. And I had the added burden in my life that I'm very susceptible to some kinds of chemicals. A lot of us are that are born in my generation and on, right? I could walk through a Home Depot, only didn't have them then, it was an Ernst, if you remember that, if you're old enough. And I would walk through, and you could blindfold me, and I could tell you by how I felt if we'd gone through the chemical aisle. And I was angry when I came out the other side. And I would look for a reason to be angry. Because after all, it's not a sin to be angry, right? That's what I heard. Nobody ever shared any of these things with me at the time. People are changing now. I hear it through the churches, different places. People are realizing, anger is not my sword. It's not my tool. The word is. and peace and love and joy. And only God can be righteous with his anger. So it's time to just set it aside. And that's because of the word talking. And it's changed my life. A lot of other things putting them in me. Let's look at the next part. Hebrews 4:6. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience, I want to obey the word. So the next part is the nature of God's word. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So just studying something. Like I could study Shakespeare. I don't like it, but it doesn't change my life. Unless there's a few places where he quotes scripture, I think. There's that in many kinds of literature. But it's just a book. It's just ink on a page. Some guy's thoughts. The word's not like that. It's alive. It is Jesus Christ. It is the word. John tells us. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So you put that into you, you can't stay the same. I was the most insecure person there ever was. The thought of preaching terrified me so much years and years ago when I became a Christian. One of the elders said, hey, we'd like to have you try a lesson. I tried to break up with my girlfriend. I didn't want to be anywhere near it. From there, I honestly could preach to any group of people anywhere because of him, not me. I'm still that 12-year-old boy frozen in my head. That seems kind of strange to say, but it's the truth. I'm amazed sometimes that Weyerhaeuser and Hampton let me do stuff, run a whole mill, and like, you trust me with that? And you could do it. Whoa, where'd that come from? It wasn't me. And God works in my life in the preaching. These aren't my words. I haven't got anything to share with you that's just Steve Daniels, except I tried this and it worked, folks. It changed my life. So go back to the question Lowell asked. Can you say you're going to heaven? Absolutely, without any shadow of a doubt, I am going to heaven. And you can say the same thing. And it changes your life. You know, I haven't been paid since, at least by the major part of the check, since, what was it, September. That's a long time. We had to take it out of savings. I'm not asking for money, please. It's working out. God's providing. But there's not a total panic. There's not God always takes care of us. And I'm not worried. I'm a little concerned because I'm a person. But I trust him. And it eases my heart. And we could go today. You know, I found out just Friday that things were looking kind of negative on all that. We had a chance to go singing with y'all. And it was a blast. I enjoyed every second of it. Especially after I found out we weren't singing all the words of that one song. People were going to do skits. You feel kind of like an idiot. Like, oh, well, that won't be the first time. So, the word is living and active. John 6:63. Romans says we have to have the Spirit in us. How do you get the Spirit? One time a guy came to me when I was preaching in Lebanon. We started a church there. Three, four, 5 years until I had to leave, and I think we just kind of disbanded. But he came to me and said, Romans 8 says you have to have the Spirit, and you can't get the Spirit by a miracle. So, if I don't have the Spirit, it says I can't be saved. And I didn't know enough to answer his question, and I never saw him again. If I ever see him, I got the answer. John 6:63. This is a verse you should write down and memorize. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are Spirit and are life. Amen. The Word is the Spirit. You put the Word in you, God's Holy Spirit is in you, if you do it. Next time you start to get angry, I'll use that example again. Probably get sick of hearing that one, but sorry. If you use that one about anger, and the next time you start to get angry, and maybe it's the one about be quick to hear. Like, I'm not listening. I gotta listen. Slow to speak. Okay, don't say anything. Just listen. And what I've found in my business, working with people, so many times people are saying the exact same thing. They're just saying it different. You know, well, I think you look pretty good. Well, I think you look pretty good. It's two different ways of saying it, the same thing, but one of them, they're start fighting over it. And you go, whoa, wait a minute. What did you just say? Well, I think you look pretty good. What would you say? Well, I think you look pretty good. And they look at each other like, oh. No, that didn't come from me. That's from God. Just listen first. Be quick to hear. Do that with your kids, your family, your everybody. Especially with your older people. Now I'm getting to be an older person. I'm pretty sure there's times my wife's looked at me like, you don't make any sense at all. Partly because maybe she didn't hear me, or because I wasn't really sure what I was talking about. One of the worst things is if I take this for you, don't ever let me do this. I'll go put this in a special place so you won't lose it. You better buy another one. My mind can find places that nobody finds. I've still lost her Christmas present from last year. I can't find it anywhere. It was a cool one. I've looked through the house. I don't know where it went. So I admit my failures, but the word's never fallen short on me. It's never let me. When something happens and I use that anger card, it's like, oh yeah, okay. That's being a doer, and it changes you. So John 6:63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. Then Romans 10:17, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. The nature of God's word. We already looked at this one. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, which we didn't even know there was a difference. I didn't. Of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The thoughts and intentions. You may be able to fool people, but you can't fool God. Amen. They may think, wow, that guy's really, you know, he's got a lot of patience. But maybe you really don't. The word knows. God cares about you. Hebrews 4:13. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. We serve a master who can read every thought, who knows everything about us. And it's not because he's trying to be mean. He's trying to help us. He has waited an eternity, which I do not understand. Remember, I told you I was like 12 in my head. If I think about it too long, I start going crazy and I got to go do something else. Because it's not within man to understand eternity, according to the scripture. There's a verse for everything. You might come up to me and said, Steve, what's your opinion? Whoa, stop. I don't have an opinion. Well, what do you think Paul meant by this? Well, let's read what Paul said. One of my son-in-laws was not a Christian. It was before he was a son-in-law. And he came to me and he had questions. And I didn't answer him like a lot of people did. Like if he asked about the dinosaurs, well, let's go find the verse about that. And there is verses about it. Or let's go find verses. But whatever his question was, when we got done, he said, you're the only person that's ever answered like that. And he became a Christian because of his faith and what he was hearing. It wasn't because of me. I don't have the answers. Left to my own devices, I would blow something up. That's honest truth as a 12-year-old. You think about 12-year-olds. I told my children, don't you ever blow anything up. Don't you ever do anything. Wait till I get home and I'll help you. We'll do it safe. You think I'm kidding? I'm not kidding. But we were safe. But all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So what do we do? This is a lot of verses. We're going to just run through this quick. You've heard all of this. 2 Peter 1:5-11. Now, for this very reason, also applying all diligence. There's that word again. See, it's not, yeah, I was Christian 42 years ago or whatever it was, and I was baptized. What do you do? You know, you go to church? Well, sometimes. Maybe. So, you know, do you ever talk to anybody about Christ? Here's one for you. If you like coffee. We only like hot chocolate just because we both hate coffee. I don't know why we ended up that way, but neither one of us like it. Our kids all do. Our parents all do. Got no religious reason about it. Just don't like it. But when we go, especially in Astoria, the Dutch brothers, they always want to talk too much. Remember that thing about touching? Well, you can touch with your words. They want to talk too much. Just give me my hot chocolate. But they go, where are you going? Going to church. Well, where do you go? Church of Christ over in Long Beach. That's usually when they lose interest. But do you do that? Or somebody comes up to you, well, Bill, how's your day going? Why are you so happy? Oh, no, I'm just happy. That's a lie. You're not happy unless you're Christ, unless you're serving him, unless you're working for him. Tell the truth. Don't be afraid. Tell the truth. That's something to work on, but it's applying the word. So applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, more knowledge. How does faith come? Word of Christ. Add more knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. See how that all works? It's building on each other. It's building blocks. And then you start over. That's what being diligent means. You don't just learn. I used to throw the javelin. Not very good, but I threw the javelin in high school. It takes a lot of learning just so you won't hurt yourself. And then it takes a lot of learning to run up there just right and fling it out just right. Oh, there he is. There he is right there. Hi, Robert. Didn't see you. I'm sorry if you were there, but I meant what I said. So I learned how to throw it, but it took time and effort and hours of doing it. That's what it means. You have to keep doing these things. So if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, I love Paul when he talks, because and Peter too does the same thing. There's a reason for the therefore. We just read it. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. I can't emphasize enough putting the word in your heart. I challenge you to do that this, just try it for one day. Now, Satan, you've heard the parable of the sower. He's still doing it. If you're trying to think of a verse, take it, write it on a card. Take it with you. You don't have to make a big show about it because that's totally opposite of what I'm trying to say. Pull it out, keep working on it. Pull it out, keep working on it. Because he's going to constantly throw stuff at you. Try to get you to listen to something on the radio or, you know, avoid that traffic jam in front of you or something. Because he doesn't want the word in you because you become less his and more Christ's. Okay, so the last part we're going to study tonight, and the lesson will be yours, is found in Deuteronomy 17. Those of you that are following along, if you want to, turn over there. I want you to know where this is. Deuteronomy 17, 18 through 20. This is before ever God, or they wanted a king. He's given them the laws, and this is one of the laws he gave the children of Israel before they ever had a king. They had God as their ruler, judges for their ruler for quite a long time until Samuel. The command was, now it shall come about. Now, it says before this that you're going to want a king one of these days. This is what the king has to do. Now, it shall come about when he sits on the throne of his kingdom. He shall write for himself a copy of this law on a scroll in the presence of the Levitical priests. All you have to do is go downtown or go to your bookshelf and pull your Bible out. He had to write it all down, the whole law. And it had to be passed by the Levitical priests. Then what? It shall be with him, and he shall read it whenever he feels like it. Is that what it says? No. It shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life. And you might try to find a weasel way out of that and say, well, you know, as long as he lives, he's going to have it. No, that's not what it says in the Hebrew. Every day you do it. It's just like in Deuteronomy where he talks about whenever you wake up or you go out, you go out of your house, you talk about God. You have God in your heart. You've got to become like that. My grandchildren, when they come to visit us and they go home, we hear them say, all Grandma and Grandpa do is talk about the Bible. All they do is talk about God. They say something, you know, if they ask us about some question, well, let me show you what God said about it. Or let's, you know, we don't bore them to death. They actually have a good time while they're doing it, but that's their complaint. All they do is talk about God. Well, why not? He's the only thing in my life. He's the only one in my life that I focus on. Nothing else matters. It doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't matter how many people you worked with or ran or did. Or any of that doesn't matter. Just go read the last chapter of Ecclesiastes. What matters is serving God while you can. Amen. And better in your youth than later. All of you that are young and you're kind of passing out there, I'm sorry. But I understand. I've been in your seats. Nobody's falling asleep. They just get that look. I understand the look. But put the word in you and you will change. It shall be with him and he shall read it all the days of his life. Why? That he may learn to fear the Lord his God by carefully observing all the words of this law and these statutes. That his heart may not be lifted up above his countrymen. And that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right or to the left. So that he and his sons may continue long in his kingdom in the midst of Israel. We know how well that worked. At one point, they didn't even know they had a book of the law. They found it. Whoa, what is this? And the king was, ah! So we know they didn't keep this. If they had, what would have been the issues they would have had? It would have been a lot less. So now this is, of course, the Old Testament. Of course, the Old Testament is written for our instruction and our learning. We're to use it as an example. I don't suggest you go out and copy the whole Bible, but I wouldn't fault you if you did. You'll learn more than you can't possibly believe. But decide you want to put some word in you. So that's a challenge tonight. I don't really have anything else. We're going to offer the invitation here in just a moment. But the challenge is, will you put the word in your life? It's changed my life. I do not lie. It's changed my life for the better. There's been so many times when people have asked me, well, why didn't you get mad about that? At first, I was afraid, and I just didn't. Later, I came back, I was wrong. I should tell you the real thing. It's because I'm a Christian, because God's in my life. And you, that's how you witness. That's how people ask you, well, I'll pick on Bill. Or I'll pick on Daniel, because he told me his name, and he's got to play the drums in our thing today. Is, how can I testify? I got to show what the Bible says. Be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. That's how we do it. So I got to show I have hope. And then I'm happy. And then in the midst of tribulation, I'm calm. I'm not running around screaming and having a fit like used to be my heritage. Instead, Daniel, why are you so calm? Everybody else would be freaking out. There it is. They just asked you for the whole reason for the hope that lies within you. Are you man enough or woman enough to go, because I'm a Christian? Now, they're probably going to instantly turn it off, because Romans talks about that. Those who do not have the Spirit can't even understand what you're talking about. But you've said what you need to say, and I've seen this years later, even in Weyerhaeuser, as a Christian pulling lumber around all of that filth. There's not a word I haven't heard, but I didn't use them. Even in the mill, I'll share with you, it's so loud that they can't hear what you say. I broke my little finger one time, and it really hurt. And then I was dumb enough to go, man, I wonder if I really broke it. Snap, oh, yes, I really broke it. And so I'm not shouting anything. I'm just going, I'm not saying anything, because what they'll do is interpret I'm cursing. That's how far this will go in your life, is I don't want them to even think I'm saying bad words. I've seen so many people in the mill stop cussing around me, not because I came up and said, you shouldn't use the Lord's name in vain. Why? Because, they don't have the Spirit. They don't have a clue. But they understand how I feel about it. How? Because I live it because of Him and because of the Word. So the lesson's yours. If there's any way we can help you, we pray that as you stand and we sing this song, that you'll respond to this invitation.